You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Delightful.
You sound so good.
Oh. But
if in the recording, in the process of recording this, if I just immediately run and throw my headphones, it's because I'm trying to catch the mailman because I'm in a state.
Oh. Trying to catch the mailman.
He's not creeping through my girlfriend's window or anything. You know when they say that something has attempted delivery, but you were definitely there,
with a
scope on your rifle, just scanning the horizon, waiting for the guy.
Yeah,
that's my situation.
I mean, I feel like that goes down a lot in Australia. I feel like the last person on earth you can trust is an Australian mailman.
It is fucking frustrating. So I'm gonna itemize my problems for people.
Think about the type of person that being a mailman appeals to. Now, I know what's his name, Jeremy Bohm, has often expressed he gets nerdy about mail order. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the guy, the washed out guy. What didn't do? He might have a bachelor's degree, but it doesn't really qualify him for much. So he's probably like 28. And his mom keeps sending him civil service test emails. Yes. And he's like, all right, like, you know, mailman, it's outdoors, you know, get my steps in. Like, imagine that type of person, you know, that being a mailman appeals to. But now layer on top of that an Australian mailman.
Yeah, my guy admits it's a fucking scam. We've had talks about it. He's very forthcoming about the situation. I said, do you like it? He goes, yeah, this is all right. I might go do something else. I was like, what? Firstly, you're 50. What else are you going to do? But I guess that's the thing, right? It's, I might be a mailman or, you know, I might sell Christmas trees, right? It's like, okay, not the most serious job. I might work at a water park or I might be a fucking mailman. So,
I mean, yeah. Selling Christmas trees, not a bad gig. I could do that.
Let me go off on one.
All right.
My PayPal has been in hell, and I've been waiting in the mail for a bank card for 3 weeks. I have been functionally penniless for longer than you should be able to survive on that. Now, I should be clear. I'm not actually broke. But when every financial service is against you, I feel like Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. What happens?
So, everyone, I have a job. My girlfriend has a job. We have a nice little home. Things are not bad. Financially, to be honest, if I add in everything that I do, I'm doing just fine. But when the mail conspires with the payment processing services, conspires with Meta and the mainstream media to dismantle your life as they have me. It's because, Eric, it's because we've spoken out against the Clintons. That's all it is. And as a result, I have been in this weird state of, hey, I have money. No, you don't, because you can't get to it. But no, but I swear I do. Okay, kid, try taking a loan out on that supposition. You can't get to it. I feel like, I don't even want to talk. I got another thing that 20 grand disappeared. I'll tell you all about it. It's been
Which was it? Was it Cardano or Ethereum?
No, it was a Master of the Universe coin.
Cream pie.
It was cream pie. Yeah. It was a He-Man token. Jammed me up. It was Fortnite coin. Really took it out of my pocket. No, I am. I'm deeply frustrated at the system that you know, took down my brothers, Alex Jones and Andrew Tate.
Yeah. Wait, did they get Andrew Tate also?
Oh, they have made Andrew Tate, they've unpersoned him to the degree that I think he can now not get payment processing.
That's the craziest one, because I swear to God he wasn't a person 2 weeks ago.
It's been maybe 2 months of this man existing.
That feels like a setup from beginning. Like they needed a new Alex Jones, but it moved too quick. You got to let it sit.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got money troubles. I think Mercury is in retrograde again as of today. So just the next month, I think, is going to suck dick. You know, if we put any sort of weight in that at all, which obviously astrology is stupid as fuck, but like, I don't know. Whenever they say it's in retrograde, it always seems like people are going through it. So just, you know, listen, life sucks, right? That's kind of like, in general, life is frustrating and annoying for most people. So just expect that for the next month or so. What do you want to talk about today?
I want to talk about this tweet.
You want to talk about CNN going full MAGA?
Will someone send in a rescue team to get Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper out of CNN? They deserve better than this. Do they? Do they? Because I think they deserve Guantanamo.
Guantanamo.
Are we fucking kidding? the Twitter Dems are the worst form of Dem. This is a monster of a human being.
It's bad.
Everything is. Here's David Crosby. Oh, I don't say this very often, but die, old man.
Exactly. I feel like you do say that often.
Exactly. Who bought CNN? Yeah. Good question, David Crosby. You're a real truth seeker of a man.
I mean, listen. Whatever it gets for people to turn on CNN, I'm down for. But like, if we're going to see this, like, I mean, if we see this spiral into like QAnon, it's kind of worse than Q at this point.
Listen,
it's more insufferable. I'd be more down to hear some Q shit at this stage.
As they call it, BlueAnon is 100% real, and people are, they're gone. Their brains are gone. For people that don't know what we're talking about, CNN said that they were going to be listing towards the mean. They would be trying to go with a moderate perspective because they have become a very obviously partisan effort of on the part of Democrats.
Now, actually, it's not partisan to go after demagogues, Patrick.
Oh, so. Here's the thing. If you don't think that there's a problem with the only two news sources consumed by people over 40, if you don't think that there's a problem with those becoming literal wings of political parties, congratulations. There's a bunch of places in South America that would be very suited to your worldview. But for those of us that don't want to live in some type of fucking sectarian conflict at all times, this sucks. The state of things sucks. And the idea that they would want to get into a false premise, but an admirable one at least, of objective journalism shouldn't scare people. But it has the Twitter Dems shook, and it is very frustrating to watch.
I mean, look, it's always been from the get-go, from when Trump came on the scene and CNN became what it became, a partisan hack fucking paradise, it's always been a business decision. And the reason why they're going back towards nonpartisan hackery is because that's where the business is. People don't want that shit. Once Trump left office, the ratings hit a fucking brick wall. It's mm-hmm. done. And the only reason they went partisan is because they looked at Fox News, which gets the highest ratings on cable at all, like of any program. And they said, what are they doing that we could do to compete? Oh, they're partisan hacks for the GOP. Why don't we just do that in sort of an MSNBC way and just go that route and see what sticks? And guess what? For four odd years, it worked. You know? So yeah. Like the fact that the ratings hit the wall meant, hey, it's time to change it up. Why don't we just do what we did for fucking however long it's been around, 30 years. And that's what's happening. It doesn't have to go any deeper than that. And I don't know why people look at it that like it's literally about the money. It's literally about the numbers. They're a business. They're a television channel. Like that's all it is. So like, but like, so as far as I understand it, the CNN people or the people that the partisan hacks that, you know, the Clinton subs that CNN has created in that 4 years, the resistance Dem, the most like worm like human on earth, that has become a cult of its own. And now they see that their queen bee is changing. It's morphing before their eyes. And now, so what does that mean? It's now an arm of Trump or something.
Yeah, that's what they're claiming. Also, there was an opinion piece on CNN that actually, I don't know if it was an opinion piece, whatever it was about the wokeness in quotations in the headline of the Lord of the Rings television show. Now, people on Twitter did their thing and were like, they just mean people of color. They've created a new pejorative for people of color. Anytime people of color are involved, it's woke. No. Stop being dishonest. Stop being a liar. We both know that people of color can appear in a thing.
Yes.
And they're is nothing to it. It's simply that was a credible actor, or they're trying to portray a place where people of color exist, whatever. Maybe it was this actor is hot. There's a million reasons why to put a person of color in a role. Or you could do some blind casting and say, strictly speaking, this person nailed their fucking audition. A million reasons.
Yeah.
However, you're being entirely dishonest if you don't think that there is an agenda of some type that is controlling much of your media, whether well-intentioned, whether idiotic, however you want to look at it. The reality is it is, let's just call it wokeness or whatever. There is a social agenda, and it is to push the idea of representation into every facet of your consumables. So everybody knows that's true. You don't have to be right wing to see that. You don't have to admit it is fine too, because to admit it isn't even to suppose that it is bad. It's just, let's be honest, right? So these people that on CNN are doing this, like, or these people on Twitter are doing this incredibly dishonest. Why can't people of color be dwarves? They can. There's a black dwarf born every day.
Sure.
But what are we fucking talking about when, look, man, there's a stink. Everybody knows. It's like when a hardcore kid tries to be in a metal band. Everybody knows it stinks. Ooh, it's got a little stink. You can like it, but everybody knows. Every metal kid knows. These are hardcore kids playing metal.
Well, first of all, I used to see a black dwarf at Penn Station, and he would dance to Michael Jackson for money, and it was pretty entertaining.
Yes, and now he is the lead.
Yeah, now he's the lead on the Lord of the Rings series. No, but wait, but hang on, because I like maybe we can dissect this a little bit. The notion of the agenda, so to speak, because I can like there are people usually in the red pill world, you know, conservative world, and maybe you're on this side of things who see it as like some type of maybe social engineering is like too strong a word, but like they see it as like there's some sort of in the way that this new media is that there's some sort of instruction to it. Like there's some, like this is how these are the culture norms of men and women and people and you know, et cetera, whatever. I'm always one for a conspiracy. I'm paranoid minded. I'll usually fall down a hole just for the sake of it because it's fun. However, don't you think that this type of thing, like when a TV show does the woke thing or whatever, that I kind of see it more as executives, producers making these decisions because there's a contingent of people, especially on Twitter, that will get up their ass if these aren't the decisions that are made for the show, i.e. diversity, i.e. strong female character, maybe perhaps a gay character. Like, it's been a thing for a minute now where it's like, you know, Oscar's so white, et cetera, that I think people in these positions to make these casting decisions or to write or to greenlight certain stories are thinking about the type of people that will yell at them or get up their ass if they don't make this type of thing.
Well, there's a
couple. Rather than it them being them foisting it upon us, I think perhaps they've been foisted into a position. Does that make sense?
Oh, if we're talking about the executives, I mean, the executives couldn't give a goddamn. You know, they will. There's an argument that as millennials become the decision makers, we are going to hit a critical blandness, right? Which I didn't know this, but it was predicted 26 years ago that millennials would be a impossibly bland and corporate generation, right? So there's these people that are into generation cycles, right? And whoever the guy, I forget his fucking name, whoever the guy is that's like the leading brain on that said that it's a perfect storm for millennials to essentially just be kind of corporate consumers. And I wasn't aware of any of this, despite the fact that I've been saying that for 10 years. But somebody made me aware of this the other day. Anyway, there's a theory that right now the executives who are not millennials are scared of their millennial work staff, scared of Twitter, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But there's going to be some pushback, as it seems there is in the Discovery Warner sphere right now, or CNN, for example. But there is this creeping concern in media that it's going to be much worse in about 10 years, because the people that are making decisions to that point, if they have not completely sold out and are just chasing a check like every other fucker on the planet, they are going to kind of push a type of scared sensibility, bland sensibility, completely unable to offend sensibility as far as it can go. So I don't know. It remains to be seen.
Well, I don't agree that executives don't give a shit. I think they do. I think if they catch hell because they didn't make the quote unquote woke decision for a TV show, I think it reflects poorly on them and, like, you know, could, you know, affect their career.
It's not their, agenda.
No, definitely not. No, they don't give a fuck. Yeah. It's they don't have agenda except, you know, make money and continue career. But the interesting thing about all this is, like, we've seen that sort of the sort of shift again, like for lack of a better term, to wokeness and a lot of things. And it's like the money's not there. And like in the recent sort of culture shift that's been happening the other way, I mean, I saw like Top Gun Maverick is like one of the number five grossing, the highest grossing films of all time. And it's like, yo, at what point do we recognize that like this Lord of the Rings show, I think it was close to like $1 billion that Amazon poured into this shit. If it bricks, like, yo, what are we, what's happening? You know, like, is the fear of being taken to task like so much so that you're willing to just lose money continuously forever? You know what I mean? Like, and to what you're saying, it is mad dishonest about the like, oh, you just don't like that it's diverse. And it's like, no, it's like, okay. So to be fair, I have not watched the show at all. I never will. Just because it's just
too many people of color for you.
No, I just don't give a fuck. I've said this before, watching the first, the original Game of Thrones show has completely burnt me out to like serial television because like the amount of, like I watched that from the beginning and to it end as disappointing as it was.
How bad was it now that you have distance on it? How bad was it actually?
It just feels like the whole thing was like a waste of time. It was
I don't understand how that could be true.
Well, because look, it was the entire show was just like build up to this thing that was going to happen. Like every season it was like building more and more and the stakes would get raised and just like it would get closer and closer. And then it just resolved itself in like two episodes. And it was like, oh, that's what that last 7 years were building to. Like it was just such a fucking letdown. And it's like, I still like those early seasons and like it was a good show, but like it just basically what it did to me was just like, I just feel so apathetic towards getting like invested in serial television. So like that's the main, the fantasy shit, I think it's beat at this point. Like I love fantasy shit, but like I'm not interested right now. So I'm not watching this Lord of the Rings show, but what I've seen people say about it is like, it's doing that fucking thing that so many goddamn shows do right now. I mean, we could talk about She-Hulk where it's just like every male character is either like a hapless, like ineffectual, like weak soy boy or a total piece of shit, detestable person. There's like no such thing as like a dude who's like competent or like good or like in wrestling, we would say a face. You know what I mean? Like it, and it's always like people hating on that She-Hulk show where it's just like, here's a brand new character we're being introduced to, and without anything, within the first two episodes, she's already better at everything than the Hulk does. And it's like, wait, what the fuck? Like that's lame. Like, you know what I mean? So I think when people call a show woke, that's what it means to me, where it's like very obviously using these sort of like, how would you define it? You can probably define it better than I can. It's just very fucking lame. It's just like this lame, like lack of sort of any kind of like believable, realistic storytelling to build up a character and just deciding that they're better than everyone simply because they're either a woman or basically because they're not a man or maybe not a white man, that they're better and more powerful than anyone else.
Well, okay, let's talk about that for a second. I had a spin-off question. I'm glad you reminded me. Watching Vanderpump Rules, there is a trans character introduced, I say character, these are supposedly real life people, but it's reality television, so pick whatever word you want to use. There's a trans character introduced like six seasons in or some shit, right? And She's kind of a bitch straight out the gate, pretty unlikable. But for the first half of that season, actually first season she's on, all the other cast are simping in this really ridiculous way. And you can tell, that it, something was in the water, because this is the season where they kind of try to jam up a dude on some, times up, he's mean to women sort of shit. And they don't, nobody knows how to handle that or navigate it in any real way. And it's just kind of weird paranoia, whatever. But the,
we are brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head over to factormeals.com/worstpossible50 and use code worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code worstpossible50 at factormeals.com/worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We thank Factor for sponsoring the show.
The trans person on the show, everybody for the first fucking year, first season that they're on, is like, you are so powerful.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you've been through, and it's remarkable what you're going to achieve. You are everything. And I just had a question for our trans listeners. Please give us a call.
Yeah.
Do you resent when people condescend the living fuck out of you?
My brain was in the exact same space. Yeah.
Because I know that when I'm treated like a child, I'm never more angry, you know, like that's when I hit critical, you know, anybody that knows me knows that I can joke, I can go back and forth with people, but I'm really pretty calm when it comes to actual conflict. I'm not looking for it. I'm typically, if something's reaching the point of that, I want to diffuse it. Not always, but most of the time. But yeah. When somebody's talking to me like I'm 11,
yeah,
I fucking get weird. And I just wonder, now our listeners are trans or otherwise are a different breed. They might be hypersensitive to this and be resentful of it right out the gate. But I'm just curious. Okay, so one argument is, fuck them. Let them simp. You know, let them fucking do the gender simping for me. I don't get much else out of this situation. But then there's this other thing that's like, this motherfucker's only talking to me like this because he doesn't think I'm a peer.
Yeah.
And so do you snap? Do you just politely redirect people? Because I worked with people with disabilities for a long time. My sister has a disability. It is natural for people, the test that is completely unfair, but people, okay, hold on. I'm going to get into one. If you are a fake advocate for people with disabilities, if you just want clout, then everything is offensive to you. If you are actually somebody who has spent their life with somebody with a disability, you understand that there's humor to the situation, and you also extend grace to other human beings who may not have spent their entire life with people with disabilities and are just doing their fucking best, right? So that's to say, there used to be the hug test. People hug people with Down syndrome instead of shaking their hands. Mm-hmm. And that is condescending. You hug children. You don't hug people you don't know, right? But people tend to see something childlike in people with Down syndrome and they hug them. And people find this offensive. I see the point, but I also try to be compassionate to the fact that, well, this motherfucker does have a childlike face and he's operating at the level of a 12-year-old. So, you know, is it appropriate? No, that's a grown man. You shake his hand. But do I get it? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But I never saw a trans person and said, this person is intellectually struggling and unable to, I'm unable to really engage with them as an adult. That's never occurred to me. So my question is, when people do that to you, what is your feeling? And yeah. do you stop them? So all this is to say that Lord of the Rings and everything else, these are all like, there's a stink. Everybody knows it. And again, it doesn't mean it's all bad. Maybe you could convince me, even you couldn't, but maybe in principle, you could convince me that this is positive. Even if it's clumsy and clunky, it's a positive goal, positive step towards something. Okay, cool. But don't get on Twitter and pretend that the thing that everybody knows is happening isn't happening. All right, let's put it like this. Eric, what percentage of the population is Black Americans?
I think it's something like 9%, maybe 10.
No, it's more than that now. It's between 12 and 14, something like that.
Okay.
And the and then
you're including Rachel Dolezal.
I am. Yeah. Also, the kids from my high school who wore FUBU. I'm including right. these. I'm including them as well. Yeah. So,
the AI that was written by the guy from E-Town.
Yes. Yeah. So here's the thing. What percentage of Black people would you put into a television show about a place where it is based on the British Isles. That's where Tolkien was pulling his inspiration, but that doesn't mean you've got to do it the way that he wrote the book. It's an adaptation. So you could make it an all Black cast if you really wanted
to. Sure. Yeah. Like Wiz.
My question would be, what percentage of a space station would you make Black before it became commentary? All right, Eric, we lost you, and in your absence, I've cast the actor playing your role.
Yeah,
it's an African American gentleman.
Okay,
he's got some credits. He's not a nobody, but I think with the right prosthetics, his star power won't take anything away from the immersion of the film.
Okay. What were you asking me before the Clintons disrupted our feed?
His name's Jaleel White.
Okay.
What was I asking you?
Well, we were talking about like trans people being condescended to by people who think they're somehow, you know, I wanted to kind of make the question more specific of like, because I have a feeling a lot of our trans listeners are younger. And it's like when a family friend asks you, so what are you doing? You know, how's it going? You go, well, you know, I'm going to college and I'm taking my, you know, getting my general credits, but thinking about a major, you know, maybe poli sci, but then I was kind of thinking maybe something a little more practical. And then they look in your eye and they go, good for you.
Yeah.
Like, do you just want to strangle them? Like, you want to poke their eyes out?
Well, okay, let me put it like this, trans people. If you've been going trans for a while and, you know, you live in a liberal bubble of some type, progressive bubble, perhaps, this may you may have lost sight of this. To 99% of people on Earth, nobody cares about another human being. Nobody cares about the guy they meet at the show. Nobody cares about their distant cousin. Nobody cares about their friend's friend. Nobody gives a shit about these people. I don't mean that in any sort of cold way. I like to think I care about all people in the capacity that they're living beings. But at the end of the day, how interested and engaged am I? Not very. There are people who just seem to love people. They seem to love being in the company of others and can listen to stories and everything. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, just as Eric said, when somebody is interested in your life, do you believe them? And when they are kind or engaged in a way that doesn't befit a near stranger, do you view them with credulity or incredulity rather? Because Eric, if somebody said, "It's really good, man, I'm proud of you," and you didn't know them well, the fuck, you go, "Oh, okay. And you just kind of like disengage and leave the conversation because that person's a weirdo and you figure that they're lying. I'm watching Jerry Maguire with my girlfriend. She's never seen it.
Yeah.
And I say I'm watching like it's a fucking TV show, but it just takes normal people fucking 2 days to finish a movie. It's the Jerry Maguire character. I hadn't seen it in a long time. He's desperately insincere and out of touch with himself, right? Because everything for his career is surface level. And as a result, his relationships are surface. People don't really take him seriously. And he's secretly pained by this. But I feel like everybody becomes the Jerry Maguire of trans people. Where they are talking to you like, I'm talking to trans people now. Speaking to you as though
you're like an abstract idea.
Yeah. Or they might
not need, a person.
They might need you in the future. So they're just keeping it friendly. You know what I mean?
It's like,
what is this? Like, I'm not saying you should want people to regard you the way they regard me, where they just look at me and go, "This piece of shit, I'm going to treat him badly." Nobody wants that. But I don't know. I just think that write or call in and let us know how you feel about your uncle by marriage being like, "It's powerful, this thing you're doing. It's really beautiful."
It's powerful because I was told to that I should believe that about you. Another, just going off more on the woke type shit. I mean, like, when would you say this sort of like diversity and inclusion shit? Like, here's the thing. As we were saying before, obviously, like, whoever gets the part gets the, like, it's like what trips me up about this, like, this thing that goes on now, where obviously, like, in every executive boardroom, whatever, casting, whatever, it's like, you know that the conversations you, Pat, I believe, have had literal conversations to this effect, where it's like, got to get a black guy in there, you know, like, for like literally any piece of media that goes out now that becomes to fruition. But what is strange to me is this idea that, like, I have seen black people in movies and television my entire life. When I was a kid, Will Smith was my favorite actor. Men in Black, fucking Wild Wild West, Kenan and Kel was my favorite TV show. I have been seeing people of color, of all colors, in television and movies. I am 32,
And I swear my entire life, and I've also seen movies in that were made in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, and they're in those too. So what is this sort of like gaslighting that like there's never like they haven't ever appeared in movies until recently?
Well, okay, so that gaslighting is part of the reason people have this problem where they go, oh, this is woke nonsense, is because when you lead with that, people know you have an agenda. They know you're trying to capitalize off of a moment, because it's just as you say, if you recognize the reality of the situation, you go, you just wouldn't say shit.
Right.
So what's the deal? And again, it's up to you if you fucking think it's good or bad, but like, what? No, people are not as dumb as you think is basically the bottom line. Is yes, people are stupid, but as it turns out, the people trying to trick them are even dumber. So whatever. It's like people are going to get sick of this. I was getting sick of it for fucking 7 years because I'm low tolerance. But I think even the average boob is just like, yeah, man, look, I think it's possible to not be like a scummy racist and also just not want to be talked down to as if I'm a scummy racist. Thank you.
Or just to pretend like black people have never been in TV shows before. Like,
yeah, no, never saw.
Like leading with, like, I just don't get it.
I'm really grateful for all the changes the last couple of years, because prior to that, this is embarrassing, but prior to that, I'd never seen a black person.
Like, it's just, I, you know, listen, I'm not an idiot. I understand that, like, okay, like when all your, you know, whatever, people bring up the Oscars thing, and it's like, okay, I understand, like all the movies that are up for awards don't have a black lead, or they don't have whatever it is, you know, like, if you want to have, if I am very happy for people having a moment where their opportunities are taken more seriously, or they're able to get things through, you know, more easily, that's dope. Not mad at that at all. Cool. You can't tell me that it's never existed before, or that like it's so important for younger people to see, you know, whoever in this movie because it's inspiring to them. Yo, I am an old man, and there are people my age that could have seen black leads 30 years ago. So I just like, you can't, like, you're not doing anything new. Stop pretending like you're doing something new.
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. It's
also,
yeah.
Stop patting yourself on the back for something that's not new. That, I think that's the big problem is.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Okay. So you need to sell something, I guess, fucking whatever angle you can do, but like, just stop self-congratulating on the back of this. It just looks weird.
It's very weird. And it's, again, it's also just, it's demanding that you pretend like it's never happened before. And it's like, all right, come on. Yeah. So Lord of the Rings, it looks like it sucks. It's just what I've wondered this for a long time is just like the unspoken conversation that must be happening, probably more so around the older guard of these sort of executives, is that, oh, our show bricked, even though we did the quote unquote right things to do. And then they look over their shoulder and they see Top Gun Maverick and they go, that did pretty good.
Like, they see Tom Cruise giving them the thumbs up from the cockpit. And they're like, yeah. Oh, no.
Like, fifth, like, highest grossing movie of all time in a time where movies are like beyond dying.
Yes.
You must have seen that the Matt Damon thing, right? Where he explains the DVD things.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's got to be like television film, I think within 5 years will be unrecognizable from what it is now. Because if the return on investment is just no longer there for these big budget things or even low budget things, like it's going to change the way in which we, like, what's the future? Are we only going to get Lloyd Kaufman movies going forward?
I mean, Have you checked out the originals on Netflix at this point? Anything that's not foreign is the most pathetic hunk of shit I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it's like game shows and like cooking shows, right? It's like the cheapest to produce shows possible.
Yeah. I forget what so my girl and I were checking the, let's see what these movies, they're all kind of in the Hallmark Lifetime zone, but in Spanish, you know, they just fucking suck. Look, they'll hit like a twice a year okay movie sort of thing. I don't know how much it drives. That's the other problem with these streaming services. No idea what anything does. I mean, they know, but I wonder if they share it with each other in any capacity, even if it's back channel sort of, you know. So how to win right now, I don't know. I think that these streaming services, I'm not saying anything original here, I think they've got to collapse on each other soon. Like, I think it's going to be an unpleasant moment where a lot of people who thought they were going to have jobs forever are, you know, going to be fighting PayPal with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would be probably among that class, but, I think that they're going to probably just absorb each other in the way that Discovery and HBO are doing. And, I don't know what else happens really. I mean, the thing is, the conceit of this all is like, despite all our shit talking, people do watch the shit out of stupid fucking Netflix shows, and people do watch like that fucking new Game of Thrones show drew like 11 million viewers. Yo, that's about the best you can do in 2022, you know, as far as television goes.
Sure. But the problem that they have, because they're not driven by advertising, the problem that they have is it's not how many people can we get to watch weekly. It's how many people can we get to join this service for specifically this show. And that's a losing there's just no way to win. Like, they have a subscriber base. How can we hang on to our subscriber base? No, that's not the question for a corporation. The corporations, because corporations are valued on their future earnings. So it's okay, we're not growing. That's all right. You're still worth billions. No, no, no. It's not all right. We have to be growing at all times. So I think we might have, in some respects, hit capacity on these. And I just don't know how they don't. I think everything might be reduced to very low budgets, which, by the way, I'm trying to get together $2 million to make the female The Raid.
Okay.
I'm not kidding, by the way.
Kate McKinnon, who else? We'll get the cast of Ghostbusters 2016.
It's Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton hot off her new show.
Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne Barr.
CGI Joan Rivers.
Yo, can I talk about something that's ugly, I guess? I don't know, like... You and I know so many fucking drug addicts that it's like, we feel like some like wince when we're shitting on drug addicts, but I gotta talk about something.
Oh.
Do you know who, I think her name's Monica? Hold on. Monica
Lewinsky.
Kina, maybe? Hold on. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Look up Monica Kina. So that's
Kina.
That's
with a K
E E N A. Tell them if you recognize this one.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
She appeared in some horror movies at one time.
Okay, yeah.
So Freddy versus Jason, that type of shit.
Sure. Yeah, she's a scream queen.
She's kind of a scream queen. She did the circuit, you know, she was in the 2009 Night of the Demons.
I'm sending you a fantastic photo.
So let's see what you got. Holy fuck. okay. So I want to be sensitive here. Like I said, we know a lot of drug addicts, and we also, it's considered in bad taste to shit on a woman's looks, right? Mm-hmm. Monica Keenan, I'm rewatching all of Entourage. Everybody, for our overtime this week, we're going to do all the people that have been Me Too'd from the cast of Entourage. But I've been rewatching this show as I sit there and I do my work during the day. I never finished it. I think that it is so much better written than people give it credit, because it's a bro show that's trapped in an era. It is, it's just going to be considered trash until there's some type of revival of that sensibility. So right now it exists in the space where people won't even admit that it was watchable. If you go back and you watch it, it's a very high end Clubhouse show where like nothing changes, but it is a drama. And it's all about these, like, just the same characters every fucking week. And it is, I'm actually sort of shocked at how well written it is at this, right? So whatever, been watching it. And this actress, Monica Keenan, is in some of the early episodes. And I thought I recognized her. And I said, who is this? She looks familiar. I look her up, and as it turns out, I kind of don't know her. I only know her from this. But she was she was in Dawson's Creek, but she was a Maxim girl. She was kind of like buzzy and hot in the early 2000s,
right?
Mid 2000s, right? And this is where I get insensitive. Then she married Eddie Furlong. Ooh. And would you look up Edward Furlong, Monica Keenan? So, Eric, you see this woman. Does she look attractive to you?
Sure.
Okay. So that's kind of like her role in things is like cute, attractive, right?
Yeah.
And, but certainly this was a thing that worked for Maxim, right? They would have like girls that would be that like the hot girl at in your dorm. That's who it was kind of like aimed for. It was like not the craziest looking woman you've ever seen, but you know, you could meet this woman at a bar, and if she was friends with your friends, you could talk to her. Oh my God, you got her number. So
yeah.
Okay. Now look up Monica Keenan, Edward Furlong.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see the photo of them in the mall?
Yeah.
Could you describe it to the people at home? I don't want to shit too hard on this. Like if these two people are in the throes of an addiction, I don't want to say too much. And if they're in recovery, I really just want to wish them the best. However, this is a disaster of the highest order. This is a mess.
Well, look, you got to be careful because like, I think the reality is sometimes you're used to seeing, you know, like you're only used to seeing Monica Keenan in photos of her at events where she's, you know, made up or, you know, or professional photos or in movies, etc. When you catch someone out there walking around, no one looks good walking around a mall. You know what I mean?
Eric, you really, he's wearing a shirt that's the wrong size.
I know plenty of people who do that who are not on drugs, but
okay. No. Well, hold on. Let's establish a couple things. Eddie Furlong has a bad, this is not like I'm like fucking page six in him here. He's a recovering drug addict or active drug addict. I don't know what kind of drug addict he is, but he's had his problems. Now, this is, Sorry, everybody. This is not a gossip thing. And I sometimes feel bad talking about this, but he's been arrested 3 times for beating her up. Now,
you're doing the Perez Hilton thing.
I am, but I just want, I'm doing it for a purpose.
Is Perez Hilton still relevant?
Not at all. Nope. He tried going, like not sleazy reportage. Like somebody must've threatened his fucking life because he went,
Mickey Rourke was going to beat him to death with a baseball bat.
Right. So he tried to do like, hey, I'm a friend of celebrities. I'm not trying to ruin your lives. And people are like, why would I ever watch your show? Or why would I ever go to your fucking site? I'll go to TMZ where they actively try to dismantle human beings.
Yeah.
But okay. So look, yes, you're correct. YouTube suggested a story of the year live from St. Louis, like Outdoor Fest 2022. Do you remember the band Story of the Year?
Sure.
He's wearing the wrong size shirt too. But here's my point. They look like hell, I think, no matter who you are. I don't think that you got to, oh, it's such a drop off from seeing them on the red carpet to this. No, no, no. No, 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 Eric. If I saw these two people, I would wonder what I was doing at the Schenectady bus station. That's what I would think if I saw these two people. So,
I mean, if they're on drugs, whatever. Listen, we've said it countless times. In the immortal words of Rick to Life, drugs destroy dreams.
Drugs destroy dreams. But
it's true.
But here's more to the thing. I don't want to make her hapless or deny her agency. These two have a kid together, and I hope that kid is happy and healthy, and I hope that they're enjoying their lives as well. But here's the reality. You got to make good choices with who you commit yourself to for the long haul.
Oh, yeah. Very true.
The wrong partner can have a ruinous effect on your on your mental health, and then consequently your physical health. You can engage in behaviors that you would never otherwise, right?
Yeah.
Either because that other person has normalized that behavior or because you are just a toxic mix, which is the thing that, you know what I think is really fucked up? The last couple of years have made every dude situation an abuser.
Yeah.
When I think that there's a danger in that because we've got to address that some pairings of people are just inherently toxic.
For sure.
And it's got nothing to do with, it's not unilateral. It's this combination.
Yeah.
We put them in the test tube together and the lab was incinerated.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Ever since we made every dude, like anytime there's a situation, it's always the dude's an abuser. Maybe he is, but sometimes it's just people are not intended for each other. And,
yeah.
And sometimes that can manifest in the shape of, you know, like you're keying each other's cars, fake pregnancies, fucking punching each other's sisters, whatever the fuck it is. But other times it's, yeah, we are in a drug motel in East St. Louis and I haven't spoken to my family in 2 years and that type of shit. So, my thoughts and prayers to Monica Keenan sure. and Edward Furlong, who I hope are doing good. And honestly, I don't know when that photo was taken. Maybe that was from fucking 5 years ago and now they're on the good foot. You know, maybe this was just their pandemic look. But oh yeah, this is 2016. They might be killing it now.
They could be killing it. I mean, one thing that's never made any sense to me is the type of relationship that is very volatile, a lot of storming out, maybe throwing clothes at the window, fighting, clearly not good for each other. You know, countless breakups. But then always like, yeah, we're giving it another shot. Like, what? Why? Just please stop. Like, you're clearly your worst selves around each other, but you can't, like, you're on a merry-go-round. Like, you can't stop. I've never understood that.
I get it. I get it because if people are in love, it's impossible to tell them not to be together. And that's just what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying a lot of people get like, they fuck up their lives like that. But it is, nobody's going to listen to you. Like, listen to our drug addict friends. They basically don't even try to convince people not to do drugs because they just go, well, I hope you hit bottom fast or I hope you hit bottom soon and I hope it's hard. And when people say that, you're like, oh my God, what an insensitive thing to do. But from one addict to another, that's a get well card. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because
they know that you have to hit the bottom before you can get better.
And you're not going to listen to any fucking jerk off.
No. And if you don't hit the bottom, then what incentive do you have to stop?
Yeah. Until then, you're just killing it.
Yeah.
So whatever. Is it too late in the podcast to address, is Brendan Fraser mentally retarded?
I was wondering why I keep seeing him crying on my timeline.
Just as I asked earlier, hey, trans people, do you take an outsized sense of offense to being condescended by quote unquote well-meaning allies? Brendan Fraser has had some struggles, but he's a grown man, everyone.
Yeah.
And the way that you're treating this guy is disgusting. It's disgusting. I'm really having a problem with it. It's like, yes, everybody, he has a fat, goofy face. It kind of lends itself to, oh, he's been through it. Why doesn't he take care of his hair? I guess he must be kind of fucked up still. But guys, he's a functioning adult. I mean, he does his own grocery shopping. You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about? For people that don't know, Brendan Fraser was in an Aronofsky film, and people say it was good and that he's good in it. And that's not difficult to imagine. He's a decent actor, right? But holy fucking shit, they treat this guy like there's something wrong with him.
Yeah. I mean, an Aronofsky film means it's going to be depressing as fuck. And I've heard the synopsis and confirmed it's probably going to be the most depressing movie ever made. Brendan Fraser's having a resurgence in his career. I think he's also in a Scorsese movie that's maybe filming or has filmed. Happy for him.
I hope
his tears are virtue of, damn, didn't think that I was going to have another like moment. Didn't think I was going to have a resurgence in the way that I'm having. And this is great and awesome and fulfilling, because that would get me choked up also. But if it's like tears of like, oh, wow, everyone's being so nice to me. It's like, oh, God. You know?
This is, I don't want to get into some fucked up shit, but like, have you heard his Me Too?
Yeah. It's pretty gross.
Kind of.
I mean, it's
but no, it's like, the actor claims that the Hollywood foreign press president groped him. Okay, well, that's pretty bad. And then it says he was able to remove Burke's hand from his backside. The incident nevertheless terrified him. Yo, Eric, I'm sorry, man. I'm not trying to be a dick here to our listeners that have gotten fucking raped up or anything, but like, I've been groped. It didn't, I mean, is there something wrong with me? Like, I've been groped. Like, I don't understand. Because he said that this was the beginning of the end, like his depression. Was I supposed to get depressed when I got groped?
Well, from my understanding, it was that he like got groped and pretty grossed out, and then like didn't want to fuck with this producer guy anymore. And that was the kind of thing that killed his career, right?
I don't know. This is the Hollywood foreign press head. I don't know. It's just you want to be sensitive with this stuff because some people take things so much heavier than you do. You know, like I've always say this. I had a girlfriend who got raped, and she was just like, I was like, oh my God. She's like, yeah, it was rough. And you're like, it was rough. And she's like, yeah, I mean, it was a bad thing. And you're like, and you know, maybe you're projecting yourself as a man on this and going, if I was raped, I'd be like a different person afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be like crazy. But
yeah,
her whole thing was, yeah, it was a terrible thing that happened. And I always kind of respected that. Was like a very high, that's a highly resilient person, right? Like, obviously, like a next level resilient person. And then you want to make concessions for somebody that is a much more fragile individual. And both people deserve your compassion, obviously. But like, what are the limits of fragility? Like, if somebody gets, like, if a grown man gets his butt groped by another grown man, what is the limit to our sympathies? Shouldn't have happened.
I mean, I presume he got his dick groped, but I don't know.
Well, this NBC thing just says it's on his ass, but I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, I mean, I've had strangers grab my ass before.
That's kind of where I'm going on this. If you've ridden a subway, I'm not saying it's good, but if you've ridden a subway, you've been groped. I don't know.
It might be too delicate to sort of really. It's
too delicate. Too delicate. Yeah. Best continued success to Brendan Fraser. And
for sure.
Sorry that people are treating you like you're intellectually incapable in some way.
Well, that's the theme of this episode, it feels like, where it's like people who are not limited mentally or intellectually, but who the world seems to treat like they're limited mentally or intellectually. Whether you're Brendan Fraser or a trans college student or whoever we
a black elf.
Yeah. or a black elf. Yeah. 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 I mean, for sure. I'm happy to see that Brendan Fraser's having another moment in the sun. I hope he can
Mummy 4.
You know. Like, here's the thing. I feel like this shouldn't be fucked up to say. What I want to say is I hope he can, like, get in back in shape, right? And, like, is that a wrong thing to hope for someone?
No.
Is that like, you know?
No, I back that.
Because when he was in those Mummy movies, the dude had a sixer, you know? Like, he is quite a handsome man and a good actor and, like, in great shape. And now seeing him in a movie called The Whale.
Yeah.
Like, seeing that face on the body that, like, I don't want to body shame. Listen, I'm a bigger man. I want the best for him. And I think he looked good in The Mummy, and I think you should want to look like you're in The Mummy more so than you look like you're in The Whale. That's all I'm saying.
You know what?
But either way, I just want happiness for him. Yeah.
Let's go to overtime, because I got to talk about, I'm going to send, there's going to be a visual component. I'm going to send you photos during the next one.
All right, let's go.
Okay, three.
We'll do the thing. Oh, yeah. Hang on. I got to do the whole thing. patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline overtime, you get it. At WP Timeline on Twitter, 205-509-9785. Call us specifically if you're a person if you're a certain type of person who has been condescended to in that sort of like weird blue pill way of like shit lib thinking that like they're supposed to be like, yeah, just, you know what we mean. Give us a call. And if you've had that experience, we'd love to hear it. And worstpossibletimeline@gmail.com for all business inquiries. And now we will go to overtime in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hey, podcast listener. My name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.